This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are halfway home in 2026, and what a weekend it was. Welcome into the show. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose. Mark Malusis in for Super Dave Ross. Dave is back home enjoying some well-deserved vacation in Virginia Beach for the holiday weekend. A really, really awesome time celebrating 250. Moose, great to have you with us again for the entire week. I know you enjoyed some festivities as well. How you been, brother? Great to see you again.
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit during the course of the break, Jensen, before we hit the airwaves. Great. I mean, it's good to be with you. Happy to be filling in for Dave all week long. Fourth was great as ever. We celebrated 250 for America, a little barbecue, hot dog, burger, a couple of libations. It was a beautiful weekend. So, but looking forward to the week ahead, especially the United States match later on tonight.
Amen to that. A lot to preview on the World Cup front, and as always, a stacked guest list for everyone tuning in today. Will Hill, of course, King of Connecticut, going to join us at 8:45 Eastern. Zachary Cohen, our senior editor there at VSiN.com, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. We'll touch a little basketball, obviously later stages of Wimbledon. We'll see if he's got any takes on where we are, especially on the women's side. My goodness gracious, it has been upset city. Sabalenka out and wants to go have libations herself, apparently, and forget about some tennis that transpired. And then Alex Crook, who has been absolutely phenomenal for us here on the network, all across all the various shows. Of course, the chief football correspondent at TalkSport. He will join us to recap not only what we've seen throughout the weekend of the knockout stage, but that preview of tonight's big one between Team USA and Belgium. That is where we begin today's edition of Highlights and Headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
We don't usually get these kind of calls going our way, but after further review, it seems as though crisis averted. Flo Balogun is going to be available tonight for Team USA after his red card suspension was suspended by FIFA. All kinds of consternation across the international community here, Moose. People saying it's absolutely not fair. Others saying, hey, it's about time. You had to get the call right. Why do we have review anyway? All's well that ends well. He is going to be available to be in the starting 11 tonight. And boy, Moose, what a boost for Team USA in the biggest match of the tournament today.
Yeah, and after the red card, I was told that this doesn't happen. That they're not going to go out there and overrule it. And I guess they used a little bit of a technicality that they used slow motion during the replay in terms of determining the red card, where in their last match against Bosnia-Herzegovina, where he received that red card, and the United States played a man down for the last 30 minutes of the match. So a lot of storylines going on in this one. Belgium upset. The United States gets one of their obviously key players back tonight. Things are breaking right for the United States men's team, which has captivated the imagination of the United States sports fan with how they played. Should be some atmosphere tonight up in Seattle, but that was big time news that came down right around 12:20 Eastern time yesterday on a July 4th holiday weekend, that one of the key members for the United States team is going to be back for this round of 16 matchup against Belgium. So hopefully that's good news and good sign ahead. We'll see. Maybe it grabs the attention of Belgium a little bit more, that things are working against us and they go with us against the world mentality tonight. But it's going to be great to see Balogun on the pitch tonight for USA.
Even more impetus to forego those Belgian waffles this morning for those of you wearing red, white, and blue. It's not much of an odds movement here, Mark. It's still $1.30 for the United States, the favorites to advance here in this match. Again, 8 o'clock is when that will kick off later on tonight, Eastern time. There's a behemoth ahead of them, though. Portugal and Spain, my goodness gracious. It feels like Seahawks-Rams will be the preamble to bring it to NFL synergy right there. 3 o'clock is when that match will kick off. We may be seeing T-shirts printed of Article 27 FDC. That apparently is what FIFA referenced. That is where they implemented the automatic match suspension for Flo Balogun. So much more to come on that. And as you said, I'm sure Belgium will have something to say about it. Speaking of what we saw last night, this was billed as one of the great knockout matches, even in World Cup history, considering the implications between England and Mexico at altitude, all kinds of hysteria. The Mexican citizens, Mark, finding the England hotel and launching fireworks and creating noise 24/7 to try and keep them from sleeping. How about going a man down, England does, in the final 35 minutes? That did not stop them from being able to get across, a historic win for them. Only the third time in the international competition here that Mexico have lost at the Azteca in quite some time. Mark, this is a scintillating win. A lot of us thought that this would be pretty low scoring. It was anything but. We had the blitzkrieg of Jude Bellingham getting the two goals in a couple of minutes, the rebuttal there from Jimenez and Quiñones, at least in the 42nd minute. It was 2-1 at half. And then, the incident that ends up sending a man off for England to be down, yet they still find a way to get it across the line. Harry Kane with the penalty kick there in the 60th minute ends up being the ultimate winner there. They move on, but my goodness, did it surpass your expectations, knowing the lead up to it, and then ultimately feasting our eyes on what was hysteria from minute number one?
It did. I mean, it was as, I mean, the World Cup is hit, Jensen, throughout. I mean, it's been spectacular. The match earlier in the afternoon out at, MetLife Stadium between Norway and Brazil and Holland, the heroics of him, the two goals before you get the penalty kick by Neymar to make it a 2-1 final late in that match. And then I couldn't wait for England and Mexico last night. And then it gets delayed an hour because of the lightning and the rain. Yeah. So what is going to be an 8 o'clock start is all of a sudden a 9 o'clock start. And, it's raining at certain portions of the match, but you hit upon it and went through it eloquently, Jensen, in terms of everything that came through it, the emotions of the Mexican fan down at Stadium Azteca, 7,300 feet above sea level. Could the English team deal with the high altitude and be able to withstand it? Then they're a man down after going up 3-1. I mean, remarkable. I mean, it really was. And the fact of how they went into and to steal the soccer term, park the bus, and went into the defensive shell to hold on for dear life. The English goalkeeper was fantastic, withstood a number of key saves. Mexico put on a rush to try and tie that match up, but give Team England a ton of credit. They came into this, the three Lions came into the World Cup with a ton of expectations. Last I checked, going into this round, they were 9-1 to win the World Cup. Kane has had himself a tournament. It has been last night's match lived up to expectations. It's one of those matches you didn't want to come to an end because of the atmosphere down there in Mexico City.
That's so incredible, right? So England move on to the quarterfinals. They will match up, as you alluded to, Norway, shocking Brazil, winning 2-1. So that match, July 11th at 5 o'clock Eastern, England right now installed as over a $2 favorite to qualify and move on into the semifinals. For what it's worth, France and Morocco already the other half of that quarterfinal set, that France basically a $4 favorite to move on. We'll see what happens there. Updated futures for you coming up as we are closing in on some monetization opportunities here on the World Cup knockout stage. I tell you what, Yuri Perez almost knocked out the Athletic single-handedly. His third start back from the injured list, Mark, had a perfect game through seven innings. It was 8-0 when he departed. Oh my goodness, if you turn the TV off, you missed what might have been one of the more epic comebacks. The Athletics come nearly all the way back to win, but Miami hold on to win it by one. They have been surging the most wins in Major League Baseball since June 1st. They are absolutely a force to be reckoned with right now. You and I will jump into some of the Yankees issues as they lost to the Twins again in the series finale, 6-1, outscored 17-5 in the last two games of those series. But heck of a weekend in Major League Baseball, no question about it.
Yeah, don't love Perez coming out, you know, and I understand why people do, but don't love Perez coming out when he's spinning that kind of a game, Jensen. Really don't want to see, you know, but you mentioned it in terms of, you know, what the A's have been able to do, and the Yankees continue to scuffle along. I know we'll get more into the American League East as the show does move along, but they've gone on to from a June now into a July swoon, and they've been playing terrible baseball for the better part of the last 15 games. I mean, statistically, eyeball test does not matter. The Yankees right now are a bad baseball team as they get set to open up an important series against the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, limping into the end of the first half of the season. Much more to come here on the American League East, as Mark alluded to in our Daily Diamond. Naomi Osaka, finally, I can get it out for you, taking down world number one on the women's draw in Wimbledon, taking out Sabalenka in a post-game interview for the ages, as Sabalenka basically was asked about, does she feel like she's number one? No, I didn't play like it, but I should just probably go get drunk and forget about tennis to try and clear the mind. We have chalk, though, Mark, continuing on the men's draw. Sinner and the Joker advancing to the quarters. Coco Gauff, Jessica Pegula also advancing yesterday for the women. Round of 16 play continuing today there on the grass. And then finally, I didn't even think it was going to have a chance. But yesterday, I just happened to check and see the leaderboard of the John Deere Classic. Come on down, Chris Goddard. Your table is ready. Holy heck, a 9-under performance. And Ben Coles ends up going in the drink on his approach on 18. It was set up for a potential playoff, but we get our plus 1750 outright ticket home. A little bit of July 4th celebration money that will reinvest into the next big meal we will have here in the Lewis household. So great weekend overall of sports. And we've got so much more to jump into on the World Cup side. Where do we stand now that Flo Balogun is going to be available tonight? Mauricio Pochettino, the manager for Team USA, something to say about it. We'll let you know when you come back on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We hope you all celebrated safely this July 4th weekend, and the fireworks might have faded, but we are still celebrating here at VSiN through July 7th. Big reminder here, people, that tomorrow is where our 4th of July sales special ends. Just $299, you get two full years of VSiN Pro access. If you are a current subscriber, we will just add those two calendar years on at the end of your expiration date. You get all the VSiN stuff you want, 70% off the regular monthly price. That includes the VSiN NFL betting guide, the best bets, the real-time betting splits, 24/7 video. It's as good a deal as we'll offer all year long. Don't wait. As a reminder, it does disappear after tomorrow. VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your 2 years of VSiN Pro for just $299. Again, VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, along with the Moose, Mark Melusis, in all week for Super Dave Ross. And perfect timing, Moose, because tonight, as big a football game as we get, Monday Night Football, not the NFL version, but we get the World Cup version, and Team USA will be in the Pacific Northwest with a little reinforcement. Flo Balogun, if you're just joining the program, is eligible after having his red card suspended and his suspension overall suspended. Team manager for the United States, Mauricio Pochettino, had a couple of intriguing comments about the whole Flo Balogun situation. Let's hear what he had to say.
I think it's a fair decision, but not too much time to enjoy it, because I think it's to prepare the game, and we know that tomorrow is going to be a massive challenge for us. Belgium is a great team with great player, great coach, and what we need to do is to be focused in our game, in be sure how we approach the game tomorrow and perform. That is what we need.
He's such a smooth operator, Moose. Absolutely love him. He has taken the high road. He is factually correct. Your thoughts now on kind of where we stand with the decision and what it means for Team USA tonight?
Yeah, it's surprising. I mean, because, and listen, I mean, going just off, you know, the information, when you look at it, historically speaking, usually this does not happen. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's the wrong decision, because I think it was debatable. You know, you listen to analysts when the initial red card was implemented, people looked at it and said, well, I don't necessarily look at that as being a red card. I don't agree with that decision. You know, Pochettino, after the match, you know, against Bosnia-Herzegovina, was open and honest when he was asked by the press after that victory over Bosnia-Herzegovina, and basically said, I just don't think that's ever a red card. And he ended up getting proven correct. Listen, it's going to be a difficult matchup tonight for the United States team, regardless whether he's available, whether he's not, right? Two evenly matched teams. Belgium was well thought of coming into this World Cup. I don't think there's any doubt. The United States has played some of its, you know, best international soccer that I've ever witnessed through World Cups, really have, because it's not holding on for dear life where you need Tim Howard, the goalkeeper, to be miraculous to keep them in the match, right? They've dictated the style and tempo, and the fact that they held on against Bosnia-Herzegovina when they were down a man for the last 30 minutes of that match, similar to what we saw in England against Mexico last night down in Stadium Azteca. It's been really, really impressive for the United States team. So for what was a debatable red card to begin with, the fact that FIFA comes out and rescinds that red card, rescinds that suspension to the benefit of the United States team, which is on this magical run through the World Cup, you know, I'm all for it. Listen, and I think if it wasn't debatable, regardless of the technicalities or everything that they looked at, regardless of who called and who didn't, he would have been suspended. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but it was a debatable one, and this one broke the United States way. And you know what? It's going to be a blast. Can't wait for that match to get going at 8 o'clock tonight.
And emboldened Belgium's side, certainly their head coach, team manager Rudy Garcia, had some choice comments when asked about it. He said, quote, "I didn't know that at the World Cup, the 5th of July is actually the 1st of April. It's April Fool's Day." Apparently, he thought it was a joke when he first heard of the news that Flo Balogun was going to be cleared to play. He went on to say that FIFA's lengthy statement was one that basically ran counter to what, you know, kind of the explanation would have been before the tournament started. He said also, quote, "We're not defending the national team or federation. We are defending football." I echo your sentiments about Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who has been absolutely phenomenal with Thierry Henry on the pre and post game coverage of a lot of these matches. He was first to say that he felt it was wrong, that it was not the correct call, and appreciate him being as honest and forthright in the moment and not playing any politics there. Politics aside, this is as big a match as we've had in the Red, White, and Blues World Cup history on our native soil. We are used to seeing the 12th man for the Seattle Seahawks here, Mark, be as forceful as any. If they can take a page from what we saw at Stadio Azteca last night, then maybe this becomes as big a home field advantage that we've had in international football for the Red, White, and Blue. As it sits right now, for some of the odds here for the stage of elimination for the United States, round of 16, which is where we are right now, plus $1.05 if you believe that the Belgian side are going to move through. The United States still at about $1.30 favored to advance in tonight's match. Anything further into the quarterfinal, and they would end up playing the winner of the match between Portugal and Spain that kicks off at 3 p.m. Eastern. Right now, Spain, Mark, about a 220 favorite to advance. Portugal is plus $1.75. If you find your way through to that, it is going to be one of the tests of tests, as France is probably waiting. They are almost a $4 favorite against Morocco. That would be the matchup in a potential semifinal. And you could see that the United States, a decided underdog. Now, I'm assuming that that is going to be with France as the opponent. If it's Morocco, perhaps it's a little bit different, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. It's a big one tonight. You got to take care of business. And I'm sure the Red Devils of Belgium will be invigorated, to say the least, to try and get this one across the line and pull the upset there in Seattle. Wanted to bring to people's attention, we've had a really good portfolio of World Cup futures. And Mark, a handful of these were before the tournament started, and then we've added throughout. So before the tournament and right into the first match or two of group play, I'll show people that are watching on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, if you're listening on Sirius Channel 158. We started with full units on Portugal at plus 850, Germany at 14-1. We did three-quarter unit plays on Brazil and Netherlands. Both of them are knocked out. Norway remains alive at 30-1 as a half-unit play. Mexico, with the elimination last night, is out. And then quarter unit plays still alive on the United States at 35-1 and Morocco at 60-1. So, as we know, Morocco is playing France, and we will actually have a couple of cross-sport parlays that are active as well. Mark, here's how I did it. I'll get your thoughts on it. Obviously, with France's odds being so short and Argentina's and Spain's coming down significantly, I decided to find some dance partners of World Series winner futures to make those cross-sport parlays. So moving forward, we actually will have a couple of futures that are guaranteed to get through. I have Argentina and the Mariners parlayed together. So this is a to win the World Cup, to win the World Series parlay. Argentina and the Mariners last week at 56-1. France and the Tampa Bay Rays at 65-1. So now we will have at least a 60-1 future for Morocco, or a 65-1 future with France and the Rays getting through into the semifinals. Spain, which we will know later on this afternoon, I have parlayed with the Phillies at 105-1. And then England is through, and I parlayed them with the Brewers to win the World Series at 109-1. So here's how we've got it. Winner of France, Morocco is at least a 60-1 getting through. Winner of England, Norway, we at least have a 30-1 through to the next round. And I would assume that Argentina should handle Egypt, at least to qualify. They would move on to face the winner of Switzerland, Colombia. So I make the risk analogy, Mark, with Dave all the time. We've got three quarters of the board surrounded right now with winners, and we're going to have a chance to monetize as soon as this quarterfinal round is up.
I'll give you a suggestion, because can I add one to that list for you? I would,
sure can.
I would double up England, and I would go England Phillies. I'd go England with the Phillies, England with the Brewers. I'd add one to your list, Jensen, and I think I'm going to do that as we're doing this show or right after the show, because I like that, because I've got a future on England to win the World Cup. And I went back in, and I was invested last night watching that game against Mexico and holding on for dear life, and all of a sudden was a huge Three Lions fan. I've obviously got a future on the United States team as well, because why not? Maybe it ends up being this unbelievable run for Team USA. But I love the creativity there. I love how you partnered up France with the Rays, and obviously they're the overwhelming favorite. Maybe it ends up being Tampa's year. Two best teams in the American League reside in the East, but I would add England with their two National League teams, one with the Brewers, and obviously you have already, and then one with the Phillies.
All right, England plus 520 after last night to win the World Cup, and we will talk about those Philadelphia Phillies. All of a sudden, objects appearing much closer in the rearview mirror as the Phillies have closed the distance in the National League East. The Mets get a big win on the road. What does that mean, and what happened in Major League Baseball this weekend? Find out when you come back.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We get Monday Night Football tonight. but it's the World Cup version. That means we're still getting closer to NFL season. And of course, if you are not yet registered for Circa's Great Football Contest, it is open. It is live. Obviously, you have to go in person to register, but Winner's Circle Proxy, your one-stop shop. They will handle all the submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. It is VSiN's preferred proxy service. So just one trip to Vegas, you can play all season long. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. Jensen Lewis alongside Mark the Moose Malusis, and we were just alluding to the fact that we like a little cross-sport parlay action, and Mark was very spot on about looking at where my England and Brewers to win the World Cup and win the World Series respectively, not only alive, but maybe we go find a team that has been absolutely hot. Maybe not Miami Marlins hot here the last month, but pretty darn close to it. The Phillies ended up splitting their series with the Royals to this point. And the weirdness, Mark, of this series is because the World Cup had a game at Arrowhead. They had to have a weird off day in the middle of this series. So they've played two games and they will finish up their series today. So the rubber match this afternoon at 2 o'clock Eastern, that first pitch, I believe the starting pitching probables will be Christopher Sanchez and Noah Cameron. But the Phillies get a win yesterday, 6-1, convincing over a Royals team, Mark, that has just been dreadful. A lot of expectations for them this year. Injuries aside, they just have not been able to make it stand up. I want to get your thoughts on where you are on Philadelphia. Let me start there with you, because I know that this has been a completely different team now with Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly taking over as the interim manager after Rob Thompson was fired. But this feels like not only a difference of mentality, but man, when your stars are stars, it makes life a lot easier. Is that where you come down on where the Phillies are here the last month or so?
Yeah, I mean, you hear about the speech that Mattingly gave the team when he took over, fight for me. You know, those are the things. And, you know, if you grew up in the tri-state area at any point in time in the 80s and you watched Don Mattingly play first base for the New York Yankees in the style and fashion which he did and the way that he's represented himself, he's an easy guy to root for and was not part of the dynastic days of the Yankees in the late 90s. So happy for Donnie Baseball. And I don't disagree with you. I think that's why, you know, the change was made by Dombrowski and company down there in Philadelphia, is that, you know, this is a team full of veterans. We need to maybe change the voice and light a little fire under their rear ends. And I think that's exactly what they've done. And you've seen Harper and Schwarber and everybody else when you're looking at that lineup, obviously getting Wheeler back. And you mentioned Christopher Sanchez, maybe. And you look at, historically speaking, the Phillies are going to be a team that's going to be aggressive at the MLB trade deadline as well. And you mentioned it going to break. Things appear closer than they things are closer than they appear. Well, they are. I mean, the Philadelphia Phillies and the Miami Marlins, which you hit upon to kick off the show, Miami's only within 4.5 games. I mean, they're right there in the National League East. So the Phillies, to me, are dangerous. I don't think there's any doubt. And it would be great to see Mattingly orchestrate that team and get them to a World Series. It really would be. And being a native New Yorker, not that I root for teams from Philadelphia, but we're in the betting circles here. And so you look at the Phillies and the complexion of the National League, and they are absolutely live moving forward. You know, the Dodgers, the Brewers, the Phillies, obviously the Braves the last 2.5 weeks really have not been particularly good, Jensen. But the Phillies are a team that has played great baseball for the better part of 2 months here. They really have. They're sitting there, I believe it's 10 games over the 500 mark. And I think you look at an aggressive upper management that's also going to look to add come the MLB trade deadline as well. And they're not going to sit on their hands.
No, they're not. Plus $1.45 right now, the Phillies are to win the National League East. The Braves still odds on at minus $1.75. But if you look at how things have really tightened up, at least in the National League pennant odds, the Phillies now closing to 6-1, just 50 cents behind the Braves, who are at plus 550. They are those co-favorites, if you will, at second behind the Dodgers, both Milwaukee and Atlanta, plus 550. The Dodgers nearly even money to win the National League. They had a chance to win their 60th game of the regular season yesterday, but the Padres and a 9-game losing streak. And boy, did they need that one, because it would have been a 4-game sweep at the hands of their division rivals. Let me talk to you about the Braves just a little bit. Atlanta going for the sweep themselves, but the Mets end up winning a slugfest. That one got much closer than it should have, as the Mets were out in a big way late in that game. A Drake Baldwin grand slam brought the Braves back to life. They hold on, although the Mets do it 10-9. They're probably going to be sellers, probably. But I think that Steve Cohen, even alluding to the media, that there's going to be maybe a little bit of a tightening of the reins of David Stearns as they move forward. I would say, and Mark, you're right there in the tri-state area, certainly the most disappointing team with expectations in Major League Baseball this year. But now it becomes, okay, yeah, you have pieces to sell, but Freddy Peralta not pitching well right now. That's a hard guy to trade at the moment. I know a lot of people will be calling about Luke Weaver and Devin Williams. Everyone needs back-end bullpen help. How realistic is it in your eyes that the Mets could stay afloat or even try and get back in this thing? Or is this a dead team in the water? And it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when they start selling off those pieces.
Yeah, I think it's more the latter than the former, Jensen. I haven't watched this team up until this point in time. And we've seen, if you've watched baseball enough, we've all seen crazy things in Major League Baseball, right? We've all seen teams all of a sudden turn their year around. I don't see it. I mean, the fact that, you know, they don't do anything particularly well. The starting rotation is not dominant. Back into the bullpen's good, right? But they're not a particularly, you know, David Stearns in the offseason talked about run prevention. They're not a particularly great defensive team. And offensively, they've dealt with injuries and they've scuttled about. Ewing's a good young player. Benj is a good young player. Torrens is a nice backup catcher. Could they trade one of their catchers at the MLB trade deadline? Could they move one of those relievers where you look at contending teams, or a reliever or two that contending teams are looking for quality relievers? Yeah, they can. But and I think they will, because I don't think this team's going anywhere. I mean, we've spent a lot of time in New York talking about the relationship of Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto, and whether or not they're friends and how they're getting along as compared to a year ago. And Soto giving you the strange one: when you meet a girl for the first time, you don't kiss on the first date. Which makes, I have no idea what Juan Soto's talking about. He's a wonderful offensive player, but it makes little to no sense. And if you've watched this Mets team on a day-in, day-out basis, they're just a bad baseball team. And so the Cohen interview, which you referenced, that he did with Joel Sherman and John Heyman on their podcast, you know, he was open and honest. And I think, you know, that David Stearns has got to do a little bit of reflection during the course of this offseason about how he puts a team together, because teams have been banged up, but some of those injuries, like with a Polanco, like with a Luis Robert in center field, could have been predictable based on the age and based on the fact that you brought in players at times that were often injured. So you can't be stunned by that, but this team's going to be a seller. I have no doubt about it. There's no magical carpet ride coming to Queens.
Yep, they avoid the sweep in Atlanta as the Braves trying to stay afloat atop the National League East. And mentioned the Miami Marlins, and last week, David already jumped in at plus 750 on the Marlins to make the postseason. I did dabble last week at 4-1 for them to make the postseason, as well as taking a shot on them at 30-1, 35-1, I should say, to win the National League East. Well, a sweep of the Athletics certainly emboldens the cause here. Yesterday's price, as Dave says, is not today's price, and the Marlins are down to plus $1.90 to make the postseason. If we look at where the standings currently are, the Marlins are tied with the St. Louis Cardinals for the final playoff spot if the National League postseason were to begin today. We mentioned Yuri Perez, the perfect game through seven, just his third start off the injured list, and a big reason why Clayton McCullough and company just said, hey, you know, I, and this is coming as a former pitcher, I understand where we are in our day and age here, Mark, but you don't know when you get an opportunity again at immortality. And no hitters, obviously, it's an incredible achievement. Perfectos, way different, man. You know, we don't have, you know, an opportunity just day in and day out with the special stuff that he had on display yesterday. They had to hold on for dear life to be able to get that sweep across the line. They get it done with a 9-8 win, but a sweep by the Marlins. They continue to remain the hottest team in Major League Baseball since June 1st. Couple other series of note here. We mentioned the Yankees, and we'll talk much more about them in Daily Diamond. They fall to the Twins as Minnesota, a house of horrors traditionally, regular season, postseason. Minnesota's always had a tough time winning at Yankee Stadium. They get that across the line. The Red Sox, they sweep the Angels. Angels are going to be sellers here at some point. Are the Red Sox awakening? I will ask our resident Red Sox beat writer, Mark Melusis, if he feels like Boston is alive and kicking when we get to the Daily Diamond. Obviously, a bunch more baseball to jump into. We'll do our American League East audit, and we will revisit some of the series over the weekend that will have some implications in the betting market today. On deck, it's our Daily Gridiron, the Buffalo Bills on the clock. Is this the year? We'll tell you when you come back next.
And by the books, right here on VSiN.
Off and rolling on a Monday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis in for Super Dave Ross this week. We will have Monday Night Football as Team USA takes on Belgium in the Pacific Northwest. But boy, it'll be here before you know it. NFL preseason games and training camps, it feels like it's on the doorstep. That is where we make our stop, in Buffalo, for today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
All right, so if not now, when? Right? It's kind of what we feel like we've been talking about with no one circling the wagons quite like the Buffalo Bills. End of an era as Sean McDermott is out. Joe Brady is now in, first-time head coach. Obviously, their previous offensive coordinator. Some changes around the coaching staff in earnest as well. Jim Leonard, now the new defensive coordinator. He was a former Wisconsin head coach, if people remember back that far. But again, a shift here, Mark, from defensive-minded head coach in Sean McDermott to obviously a man very offensive-minded and familiar in Joe Brady with the tandem of Josh Allen. Okay, so we have an intriguing offseason here for the Buffalo Bills. They make a big trade to acquire DJ Moore, and I know we can underline big because some people are like, really? Is it big getting DJ Moore? Well, we'll see when you have the quarterback that you do in Josh Allen. They did have to give up a 2026 second round pick. They got a fifth back as well. And again, it adds another proven veteran outside threat to go along with Khalil Shakir. Other additions, Bradley Chubb, D. Alford, C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They did add in the back of that secondary to try and fortify a group that at times was dominant, at times was a little leaky. And then in the draft, a couple of second round picks, TJ Parker, the edge rusher, outside linebacker from Clemson, and Davison Igbinosin from Ohio State, one of the stout cornerbacks there for Ryan Day at the Ohio State. Expectations for you, Mark, because it feels like we've had the same refrain with this group. Last couple of years, they've been one of the darlings, one of the short shots in the betting market, not only to win the AFC, but also short enough in the overall Super Bowl market. They are the second betting choice, tied with the Baltimore Ravens on DraftKings at 10-1, only the LA Rams shorter than those two teams at plus 550. Let me get your thoughts on where we are from an offseason standpoint, the head coaching change and kind of what that means in your eyes, and maybe an outlook of the Bills this time around here in 2026.
Yeah, I think it's interesting for Brady. I mean, I do. I think the Bills felt like they needed a change. You know, you look at Joe Brady, interesting kind of career that he's had. He was with Burrow down at LSU, went to Carolina with Matt Rhule, didn't work there. And then he put himself in a position to be successful and landed on that Bills coaching staff, ended up being the offensive coordinator. Now he's the head coach. So, you know, he's a great offensive mind. I think this was a head coaching hire for the quarterback, the most important position in the NFL. And we understand how brilliant Josh Allen is. I do think it's a big signing or a big trade that the Buffalo Bills made bringing DJ Moore in, because if you looked at the receiver room for the Buffalo Bills a year ago, it is a drastic improvement for the Buffalo Bills to now have DJ Moore. We know they have a talented tight end unit. Cook is a tremendous dual threat at the running back position, whether catching the ball out of the backfield or having the runs. Good offensive line anchored by Connor McGovern at center. They do add in that veteran edge rusher, Bradley Chubb, who obviously was let go by the Miami Dolphins. They've reconfigured the back end when you're looking at that secondary. I think Jim Leonard's a good defensive mind. I don't think there's any question about it. But the specialty of Sean McDermott was obviously the defense. Brand spanking new stadium, which is going to be a thing of beauty by all the videos and all the pictures that we have seen up until this point in time, Jensen. Will they have the same home field advantage that they once did? That'll be interesting as well. You know, overall, the complexion of the AFC East, I think they're the team to beat. I mean, I really do. Even with the success of the Patriots a year ago, even with them getting A.J. Brown from the Philadelphia Eagles to give Drake May a little bit of a weapon. They've dealt with a lot this offseason, have the New England Patriots off the football field, not necessarily on the football field. I think last year was probably a year early for New England. I don't think if we didn't get the snow globe in the second half, And Bo Nix is healthy, I don't think they're beating the Denver Broncos in the AFC Championship game. That all did happen. The Patriots are going to be well coached by Vrabel. There's no doubt about it. But you look at the Buffalo Bills, I think the change in voice, I think McDermott had run its course. Be interesting now, though, to see with Brady, because anytime you bring in a new head coach, as much as you like him, as much as the relationship he has with Josh Allen, as good of an offensive mind he is, there's a lot that goes on with being a head coach in the National Football League or being a head coach of any professional sports team. So how does Brady handle all of that? We'll all find out together. But I think offensively, they're going to be a little bit more dynamic with DJ Moore. I think the defense is going to be a little bit of a work in progress. But as long as you've got Josh Allen, when you look at their win total sitting at 10.5, can they suppress that? Yes, no doubt. Should they be right there, minus 130 to win the AFC East? They should. Should they be one of the betting choices to get through the AFC, top betting choices, along with the Baltimore Ravens? Yeah, but the problem is that when you start to believe in the Buffalo Bills, they seem to be a snake bit organization, and things have a tendency to go wrong at the most inopportune times.
I would agree. And just from a schedule standpoint, if you are not a VSiN Pro subscriber, great time to become one. Again, still running that super special $299 gets you two additional years if you're a current subscriber to become a pro subscriber and get access to all of our great tools, including the VSiN NFL betting guide. And honestly, Moose, when you look at on paper, Buffalo's first 5 weeks, how about at Houston, which is going to be one of the top choices to win the AFC South, a little bit of a revenge tour from C.J. Stroud, D'Amico, Ryans, and company. Oh, by the way, let's open that brand-new stadium on Thursday Night Football there in Buffalo against, Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions. That should be a lot of fun. Then you got Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers headed in. Then we've got the big AFC showdown round number one with the Patriots. And then let's head for Monday Night Football back to SoFi Stadium to take on the Rams. I tell you what, if you're over 500 through 5 weeks for Buffalo, you got to feel pretty damn good with how that schedule starts out. It is a beast for them in the AFC East. So I think the win total at 10.5 accurately priced, I would lean to an under. That's me personally. And Mark, I am one of the few brave souls on an island of our 23 experts and analysts who submitted selections for our NFL betting guide. 20 of 23 selected the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC East. I was not one of those. So my thought comes down to a couple of things. Number one, I think you bring up, and Dave said this as well, and we'll reiterate this point. First-year head coaches, right? Always difficult with expectations. There will be a boatload of them. You got a new barn that you're debuting, and there is going to be a lot of fervor around this team with some of the offseason additions. Are they better offensively? I would say yes. Are they better defensively? I don't know if they are. They're a little bit long in the tooth in some spots. You've obviously got the defending division champion Patriots, who will be out to prove that the offseason hysteria off the field is behind them. Miami is a revamped group. And I'll even get your thoughts early on the New York Jets. Are we going to get some resistance from them? And will they provide any problems for the Bills, at least in their head-to-head matchups? The Bills won't see the Jets until they have to head to the Meadowlands. This is basically in the middle of November. Buffalo, for what it's worth, has won the last five straight up in ATS against the Jets. But I think that's a beast of a starting schedule for the first 5 weeks. If you can be 3-2, I don't know, however you want to apportion, of course, you're going to want the divisional head-to-head against the Patriots. But if you can be 3-2 after week five, staying out west and taking on the Las Vegas Raiders, Mark, I think that would be a huge start for Joe Brady in year number one.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I wouldn't doubt that. I think it's going to be, you know, a work in progress when you're looking at Brady. As far as the Jets are concerned, Jensen, people complain about Geno Smith being the quarterback. Well, I mean, did you see the quarterbacks a year ago? They were non-competitive. I mean, they went in, they were believing in Justin Fields as being this all of a sudden guy that they were going to find the diamond in the rough, and they were going to, I mean, and they were brutal. Brady Cook at the end of the season was non-competitive. I think the Jets are going to be better. I do. Does that necessarily mean that they're going to be great or they're going to be significantly improved or going to be a danger to an upper echelon team in the AFC East? No, I don't necessarily think that. But I do think they'll be better. The offensive line, I think, will be good. I think the fact that, I think they're going to be able to run it. We all know how good Wilson is at the wide receiver spot. I think Geno last year wasn't protected. I think when you protect him and you give him a running game, which I think the Jets have, I think he can be a decent to good NFL quarterback. I think you'll see a better version than we saw last year in Vegas with the Raiders. And defensively, I think that's the specialty of Aaron Glenn, who's going to be calling plays this year for the New York Jets. So I think it'll look a lot better than it did a year ago, where the Jets, historically speaking, last December during a four-game stretch, had one of the worst Decembers, or the worst December that we've seen ever in the modern-day NFL football.
Bills still have James Cook in the backfield, still one of the best, if not the best, overall dual threat quarterback in Josh Allen. Sky high expectations yet again for the Bills. Sky high expectations for Team USA, and they get their best player back. We'll tell you more when you come back.